New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. This is the ZABE cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Thursday, September 26, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Mr. X comes your way in mere minutes. We're going to load up week 4 in the National Football League. But first, kids, pull up a chair and let me tell you about the legend and the story and the apocryphal tale of one Matthew Sluka. Huh? I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It could be Sluka. I'd never heard of the guy until the story broke on Wednesday. Matthew Sluka is the starting quarterback for the UNLV Runnin' Rebels football team. Wait a minute. He was the starting quarterback for the UNLV Runnin' Rebs. They were out to a hot start this year at 3-0. Of course, UNLV, the former home of Randall Cunningham, and also more famously, you might remember, Kenny Mayne, the great SportsCenter anchor, played quarterback at UNLV back in the day. Anyway, Matthew Sluka was doing pretty well and didn't like the fact that he thought he had an agreement. We had an agreement between himself and the university and their head coach, Barry Odom, for money. NIL money. And the way Barry Odom had structured their NIL collective at UNLV, because other than being a casino greeter at O'Shea's, nobody fucking knows any UNLV football players that has real money that wants to spend on those guys. So they had a collective that then doled out the money equally. From what I've read, most of the reporting coming from Mike Grimala. Mike Grimala, whose header on Twitter is covering UNLV sports and the occult for the Las Vegas Sun. I wonder if the occult is actually his beat. I would not discount that, per se. He writes about it saying, look, per source, Sluka did not have a registered agent when he committed to UNLV, and there is nothing in writing about how much money exactly he would be paid. Now, the three games is a key inflection point because by pulling the ripcord now and getting out, he preserves his red shirt year and he can go to some other school and say, okay, pay me money, but pay me up front. Let's get this in writing. And then I'll play football for you immediately next year without sitting out. Yay. Unlimited portal. Yay. NIL. Aren't you happy, Jay Billis? What a great system this is. Now you could say that UNLVs were negging on their deal. You could argue that they should have not been penny wise and pound foolish given how they'd started and just pay the guy more, pay him under the table. If you don't want the whole, well, we can't pay him more money. We've got to be equal about this. You're going to make more in a better bowl game if you keep it going with this guy. Wake up. That's a fair argument. And I'm not saying that UNLV is in the right here. I'm just saying it's a joke of a system because everything is unregulated right now. And who couldn't see this coming from 10 miles away? Anyone with a brain. People like me and others were saying, look, most of these guys don't have any true NIL. So what's going to happen is once you legalize NIL, there's going to be funny money that gets funneled to the players under the pretense of NIL. No work, no show jobs, sort of like the Sopranos Goombas underneath the Cinzano umbrellas, doing nothing all day but cracking jokes and getting in fights. Well, then it quickly went, even zoomed past that charade, right to NIL collectives. So we could see this coming. Anyone with a brain would knew this would be the case. So NIL turns to direct payment, turns to de facto payrolls for programs. The big boys, like Ohio State, seethingly pissed off they couldn't beat Michigan again last year, flex their financial muscles, got a $25 million war chest, and went out and bought everybody. Or at least they think most of everybody. It might work. We'll see. So the arms race is on, and this was easily foreseeable. And the Wild West that is still right now is shady as fuck, and players renege on deals, and teams renege on deals. And it's a mess and a joke. And I just wonder, does anyone stop and go, hey, you're still playing a team sport, okay, Sluka? You still have linemen who block for you and wide receivers who catch for you and running backs who run for you. It's not just you, bro. But this was bound to happen. It was bound to blow up, and it now has. And it won't be the last time. There's going to be a push for more transparency and more formality and more uniformity, which is understandable. And once they get their arms around that, I can tell you this, it won't be good for the players. Because while the players might right now might have temporary leverage, like Sluka, to bail after three games and a hot start, keeping his redshirt year intact and then have his agent go shop deals elsewhere, the leverage is going to be short-lived. Because once they regulate the Wild West, the power will go to whomever has the money. And that's going to be Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Texas, et al. And then they're going to say, well, we want them as employees, and we want guaranteed years. And you know what? It wouldn't be the worst idea to trade guys, kind of like in the pros, since we kind of got a pro system here, so why not? And if you're going to give a mouse a cookie, if you're going to have trades and contracts and everything else and salary caps, shit, let's have a high school draft. I've said it on this podcast before. I'm saying it again. Just when it comes to fruition years from now, say, God damn, Zabe, you were right. You were way out ahead of it, but you were right. And once they get everything by the letter and above board, oh, they are going to put the screws on the athletes once again, because that's what happens in the pros. Sure, Dak Prescott got his money, but man, he had to fight and he had to put himself out there and let it go to the 11th hour and play chicken with Jerry. And that's Dak Prescott, a really good quarterback who does everything right off the field, is a great icon of an iconic franchise. It was hard for him to get his money. You could say, well, he's not nearly worth what he's getting paid. The whole process of it was pulling teeth. And yeah, CeeDee Lamb got his money, but some other wide receivers did not. T. Higgins, and now Ja'Marr Chase not getting a new deal. And Cincy, Hassan Reddick is burning money left and right. So it's going to be fun as the whole system flies apart. And eventually, whether we get a high school draft or not, I think that's probably the last rung of the ladder that may never come. But you're going to cleave off the top 35 to 40 to 50 schools at most that are willing to keep up and pay for this level of minor league pro football, because it's going to get super expensive. And there's only so many deep pockets, and they only love good old Southwest State that much to then keep going to their pocket year after year after year. If these boosters have had all this impatience with coaches, right? They're like, this coach sucks, fire him, get him out of here. Well, guess what? They'll be even less patient when it comes to their monies. And once they get turned off by it, then how are you going to finance the whole kit and caboodle? I don't know. But again, I'm sure Jay Billis is happy and looking forward to that awesome Duke-SMU basketball game. That's a league game this year in the ACC. Or maybe North Carolina-Cal on a cold February night. Won't that be exciting? Because we gotta pay the players. Quick email before we get to Mr. X. Hi, Zabe. Longtime one percenter here and lifelong Eagle fan. I understand you hate the birds, and that's fine. But please, in the future, take some time to actually watch the plays you plan to discuss on the podcast. Getting secondhand info from Scott, who may or may not have watched the whole game, is a recipe for bad for a bad game of telephone. Is our coach killing us with fourth down decisions? Oh, hell yeah. You got that right. I won't bore you with all the details that were off during the discussion, though, with Hatch, but here's a few. There is no back-to-back fourth downs at the goal line. In fact, most of the missed fourth downs this year have been fourth and three or fourth and four and not even close to the end zone. There is no wildcat snaps, although New Orleans did try one, though. The fake brotherly shove at the end of the half did go to Barkley, and we did have a timeout remaining. This doesn't change the fact that it was shockingly stupid of a play call. I don't expect you to see every game, Zabe. If you're going to take time out to crap on our admittedly dumb coach, please take 5 to 10 minutes to check out the plays for accuracy's sake. Thanks for the laughs, Rich in Jacksonville, Florida. Rich, you, sir, are 1,000% right. That is fucking terrible work by me. I got mixed up, turned around, confused, and conflated between what the Eagles did and the Bears did on Sunday. And that's inexcusable. I can't see every game. I can't even see every cut-up of every game. But I do need to bear down just a bit and go, okay, hold on a second. Let me look and write a note or two and just make sure I've got things square. I will be better. Thank you for keeping me honest. Coming up, Mr. X, our gambling D-gentleman, his thoughts on week three, and do we have any lumber in stock in the NFL in week four? Still, not as far as I can see, any double-digit spreads. Maybe there's one looming on the horizon. We'll talk to Mr. X next. You're listening to the Zabecast.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Another week dawns in the National Football League, and to help make sense of all of it and maybe place a winning bet or two, our D-gentleman buddy, Mr. X. How you doing, Mr. X?
All good. It's a fun time of year.
I just got done chronicling the saga of UNLV's starting quarterback, and it reminded me of your favorite phrase, which is, winning is nice, getting paid even nicer. And obviously, he was not getting paid. They're like, yeah, we don't have a real agreement in hand. We just like have a handshake deal, but we're working on it. We're working on getting you more money. Relax.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you a quick, today's era where everybody plays with places, cool places like MyBookie or any of the others, they don't understand that line. But back in the day, God, it was probably in the early 90s when one of my bookmakers was the guy who would say that, when you're like, you think you won, and he would say, winning's nice, but getting paid
is even nicer, right? You had to count on your book.
Because it wasn't always an automatic back in those days.
Yeah, and honestly, I can only speak for my bookie. And people say, well, why do you work with them? And I'm like, because they were first to support me. And I said, they pay. You may not like some of their rules. Every book has rules online. But bottom line is they pay. And that is not something to sneer at. And I think by now most of the big boys have gotten better at paying out. But for a while it used to be bloody murder to be like, all right, I'm done gambling for the year. I know it's hard to believe, but I would like what's left of my money back. Are you sure? Yep. Hold on. Yep. You know, baseball season's right around the corner. By the way, before we get to the week four in the NFL with this hurricane coming up, Major League Baseball is royally fucked, it looks like, because they're going to start the playoffs 5 minutes after the regular season because they got all these teams and all these series now, and they don't want to go down from 162 because of money and the record book and everything else. Not enough days in the calendar unless you start baseball in mid-March, which I don't think anyone would want.
Yeah, you know, Zabe, normally one of the unknown factors in that whole we got to finish the season is all the season total bets, which require, you know, 160, 161 games be played, and they don't
even
want
if it's over, right?
Doesn't matter.
That is number one bullshit. As they say.
I know. I've talked about that one for years. There's no way to write up in a rule, hey, if you're over, it's cool, and if you're under, well, you just can't put it into words, even though what you're saying is true.
Why can't they? It seems straightforward. When it's
you give me one, you know, on the bottom of the rules when it says this, must play 160. Okay, I get that. Now, write up the rule that you can fit on the bottom of a ticket and explain the difference between an over and an under in a sentence. Whoa. It's just not that easy.
All right. Here, let me try. Ready?
Go.
When it's over, it's over. Boom.
Okay, so wait.
That fits on the ticket.
I know. I hear you, but it's just easier for them to pick it. So the point is, it used to be finish the season because of all those tickets. Every year on September 1, people say, this is the closest race ever. And I say, talk to me on September 15th. I mean, it always separates out.
Right.
This might be the year that's going more to the wire than in a long time. There are so many, a game here and there. You can't shorten a season because somebody will get screwed. This is too close.
So there's a couple of your best plays that are hanging in the balance right now with this hurricane coming up the
east. Oh, how about freaking all of them?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm dying. This is the my best plays from this spring are the Gene Mock 64 Phillies collapses.
Oh no.
Oh, they're
what, the Yankees
dying.
And the Orioles, huh?
Well, the Orioles, oh my God, you know, 100-win team. I got over 89.5 and I think there's something like 8-14 down the stretch. They're just dying. They might still get there if they beat New York Times, but it's going to be a last weekend thing, and they should have had this wrapped up by 1.5 miles.
Yeah.
And Twins over 86 should have been wrapped up. They've gone like 8-18. They're choking dogs.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like that. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
But the bottom line is the playoffs are so tight that this weather is going to be a real possible problem for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of dirty, how dirty did the Pirates do Rowdy Tellez? They cut him this week, 4 at-bats shy of a $200,000 bonus, and then had the nerve to say, well, it had nothing to do with that. You know, it's like we had limited roster spots, and we have some young guys. I'm like,
it's September roster expansion.
I'm like, motherfucker, there's 5 games left in the season. You're out of the playoffs. Stop pissing on my leg, saying it's rain.
On September 1, they expand the rosters to 40.
I know. Well, they had some convoluted excuse, but nobody with a brain bought it. And it's just nasty business. Because, you know, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 200 grand ain't going to break them. But for Rowdy Tellez, he could use that 200K, you know? And he put in the work. He was four at-bats shy, you assholes.
You know what they call that?
What?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, right. You fucked up. You trusted us, Animal House. Oh, well. Okay, that said, let's get to week four in the National Football League. And I'm going to let you steer the conversation because you always come with a nice outline of stuff. I am ready.
Except for your listener last week that said I was so unprepared. But okay, I'll try.
You got to let this stuff go, man. We're on to Cincinnati, Mr. X. Let's go.
On to Cincinnati. Let's do it. Well, I'll say this. Last week, looking at the NFL, I thought it was a fun week. Last week, the favorites. You want to guess what they went? Come on, Zabe. You can do it. Out of 16 games,
Had to guess, 8-8.
Bingo. Winner. Yeah! But here's the part that was cool about it. The eight underdogs that hit all won their games outright.
Oh, really?
Yes. So last week, pick the game winner, and you were 16-0. I mean, eight favorites won and covered, and eight dogs won outright. I'm not like a data bank guy, but I think that's pretty rare.
Right.
To not have the point spread matter in a single game last week. Pick the winner, got it right, 16-0. Okay. Overs, man, they both hit on Monday night to get to 6-10. Man, it was an under week. The unders were hitting, but the two overs on Monday, the overs only got 6 out of 16. And the public on my account went only 2-4 once again. So that's the recap. But I got some notes from the games last week. You want to do that?
I do, but real quick, I am scanning the great lumber shortage of 2024 continues. Although I see a 10 now. I see a double digit Patriots Niners.
Yeah.
It opened at 9. It's currently at 10, 10 and a half in a few shops. So that's the only shop that has lumber in stock right now. The first double digit spread of the year.
Yeah, you can make that case that when I say the eight dogs won outright, they weren't big dogs,
right?
So that's part of it. But still, hitting all eight is kind of significant. But you're right, the spreads are closer. And part of it is because the scores are so much lower. You know, the lower the score, the tighter the margin. So I'll give you that.
All right, let's talk about some of the games and what you saw. Go.
Here's what I saw. The Browns. I loved the Browns game. They kick off. Opponent fumbles on the kickoff. The first play from scrimmage, they throw a touchdown pass. So you kicked off, and after 10 seconds, you're up 7-0. Pretty much from then on, they suck. And they got destroyed from that point on. That's a bad team. Deshaun Watson might go down as one of the worst contracts ever.
Might?
Okay.
I think when you combine what was traded to get him, because remember.
Yeah.
That goes into the mix as well. It was a huge sum of assets that helped build the current Houston team.
Yeah. The only reason I said might is because I just don't want to think hard enough to find another one, but I can't think of one that's that bad.
Yeah.
He just looked bad.
It's a disaster. It's a double
disaster. My second point.
Hold on. It's a double disaster with him because it was disastrous.
What?
It's a double disaster because it was a disastrous trade. Coupled with a disastrous contract, and then a triple disaster because of the fact that he is such a bad guy. Like, you might not have heard this quote this week, but you know, in his press avail this week, he was asked, well, you know, would you think maybe running more might help get this offense going? And his answer was, well, I'm not a running back. What a dick. He also was asked about a specific play that looked wide open. He had a guy wide open, I think a fourth down. And they're like, why didn't you throw it to this guy? And he goes, because he was the decoy. But he was wide open. So he is a certified bagger.
The pressure is hitting him in all directions. And that is – Houston's looking awfully smart on – that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, next.
My second question, I remember a guy named Zabe used to say, if I can get your quote right, when it comes to NFL quarterbacks, you pay for competence, not necessarily excellence.
That sounds kind of smart. I might have said it. I don't recall.
You used to say that in the Kirk Cousins Washington days with that whole thing. Where it was like, he's not that great. And you're like, just pay for competence, not excellence.
I mean, to me, there's value in competence. Anyone exactly. who can get the job and hold the job, that's a valuable quarterback. Only half of the league starters have really two hands on the job. The other half, they're hanging on by one arm right now, you know, game to game almost.
Sure. There was a game, and I don't pay good attention to who says what, but there was a game this week where an announcer was talking about how Brady – actually, it was the Monday Night Bills game, I think, and they were talking about how Brady screwed up like 15, 20 years of, hey, you're really good, but you're just not the Patriots and you're not winning championships.
Right.
And now it's Mahomes. And there's a lot of really good teams and good quarterbacks that aren't Mahomes. Yeah. And it's okay. You know, you can't all do that. But the reason I say that was Bryce Young. Wow. Since when does Andy Dalton change your team that much? And what does that say about Bryce Young? I mean, yeah, Dalton looked good. But when they announced that Bryce Young was out and Dalton was in, the point spread shifted. Since when does benching your starter give you, like, points? And it was right. It was right. All it took was Andy Dalton being competent to say, maybe you guys don't completely all suck.
Yeah. It's one game, though. Let's not forget, and it is the Raiders who have apparently their own dysfunction brewing on the team. But yeah, it a lot of it probably was Bryce Young. Simple stuff. Where a veteran like Andy Dalton gets a play, knows how to flip the formation, knows how to adjust the protection, and knows that a tight end is going to clear in the flat for 8 yards almost no matter what, and he can make that throw. All that shit is done before the ball is even snapped, if you're a competent veteran. If you're a second-year player still swimming in all the nuances of the job, you might be like, you don't see anything. You don't make any of the checks, none of the protections, and it goes sideways. The one thing to keep in mind, this email here from one Ben Kent, he writes to say, the kaleidoscope of QB hype. Zabe, just want to remind you a bit more about your Sam Darnold praise with the Vikings so far. And just remember, there have been other examples of hot starts with journeyman quarterbacks. For time's sake, let me give you two. The Vikings in 2016 had a guy by the name of Sam Bradford. Remember him? They got out of the gate 5-0, and it was the talk of the national media after the first month. Well, Bradford didn't make it very far after that. The team finished 8-8 and missed the playoffs. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had this hot young QB sensation from Harvard by the name of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember that? Anyway, they start 2-0. They beat the defending champion Eagles and the dirty, stinking Saints. Fitzmagic was rejuvenated. He was doing press conferences just like Conor McGregor. All lights were green in Tampa. Green, green, green. They finished the year 5-11. Just to remember, Ben Kent. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate the email.
Yeah, I guess I think of it this way when I talk about competence. It's great to have Mahomes or Brady or Peyton. I get that. But if you just have competence, you allow the rest of the team to play. But if you're really, really bad, like Bryce Young has been, the rest of the team cannot overcome that.
Oh, not only can they not overcome it, I remember times in Washington when RG3 was sucking so bad post-injury trying to become a pocket passer, that there were times that Chris Cooley would say, look, I really can't even grade the tape this week because none of what he is doing. I can't grade the receivers, can't grade the running backs, can't grade the line because the one guy, the quarterback with the ball, is doing virtually nothing right. His drops aren't the right depth. He's not looking at the premier guy in the play that's called. He's not adjusting formations. So what am I going to do? Rate a wide receiver on his route? When the quarterback never even saw him? What's the point?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at with Carolina. I mean, we on the website, we took the play this year of the worst record in the NFL to be the Patriots.
Ooh.
And after 2 weeks, I'm looking at the Panthers going,
damn,
how are we going to compete with that bad?
How are we going to compete with that lousy team down there?
Yeah. And then you just go to an average quarterback like Dalton and you go, well, maybe they're not that horrendous. So my Patriots are back in play.
What did that worst record prop pay?
Patriots were 3 or 4 to 1. It wasn't big. They were, you know, they were the favorite.
Okay.
Or co-favorite. But I thought they were that bad because they were going to go with Brissett. They were going to wait till they were 0-6 to bring in May. You know, but like you said, for 2 weeks, the Panthers were like, oh yeah, hold my beer. But now with Dalton in the game, they'll win some games. The Patriots are back in it now.
All right. I got another email. This one from John Butarazzi. You can always email me, zabe@yahoo.com. You can email Mr. X directly at. What's the email?
I don't know. It's askmrx@callmemrx.com.
Okay. He says, Zabe, I'm a big fan of your Mr. X segment. Can you please ask him when one should exercise the cash out option that is now popular on these online sites? I've done so to lock in winnings in the past as well as to cut losses. However, guidance would be appreciated. Thanks and all the best. John Butarazzi. Why, if I recall, Mr. X, they once made a country song about this. It went, you got to know when to hold them. Know when to hold them.
Easier said than done.
Any thoughts on that?
Johnny Boot. I haven't heard from him in many years. Good for him. Yeah, I will say this. I'm not a majority of... big-time gamblers, I have a lot of experts that disagree with me on this, but I hold my ground. I always like to lock in wins. I believe in locking in wins. And the famous Dano would say, well, then why are you freaking gambling? You know, just why lock in?
Because I like money. I like to win.
I never want a good pick to lose. I want to lock in a win. And I always say it's okay to win less than lose.
Right. So now, so what is your threshold of a buyout? 70%, 80%
Everything's different. It depends on the odds. It depends on, you know, there's no magic formula, but I will say this.
So it's like gut feel and atmospherics is a team injured, you know?
Okay. Zabe, let's go back to 2003 when I had the Marlins at 200-1 on your show to win the National League.
Right.
And they're playing the Cubs for the championship. Well, hey, I'll lock that thing in at a huge number. And I bet the Cubs, and thanks to Steve Bartman, I didn't win. But anyway, the point is bet's different.
You cut the 200-1 to 101 by hedging, right?
Exactly. Something like that.
What moron or complete degenerate looks at 100-1 and say, yeah, not good enough. I'm going to be greedy and go for the whole thing.
Exactly. But so what happened over the years is the books learned to offer. Here's the key. They learned to offer what they call the buyout bet.
Right.
Okay. So, hey, would you like to settle for less? But I always manipulated that at a better price. So my answer to your emailer is this. Yes, hedge it out, take the plus. However, what they offer you as the buyout is usually less than you can get by doing your own damn homework.
Really?
Oh, yes. So I'm just going to make up a number. Oh. You got $100. And they say you want to sell out for 50 and take the win. If you learn to hedge it out yourself, you'll probably get 70.
Okay.
So the point is the philosophy, Mr. Boot, the philosophy of should I hedge out and cash in my winnings is a definite yes. But should you take the house's cash out pay? Probably no. do it yourself and find a better way to do it. That's one of the things, you know, with my VIP, we do that all the time, hedging out on bets, how to take a plus and turn it into a win-win. So should you cash out? Yes. But should you take their bullshit cash offer? Probably no.
Okay. Fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I put a quarter in your jukebox on college for a second and let you brag about X2's JMU Dukes, who absolutely trashed North Carolina?
When was the last time you scored 70 and should have scored more?
And left points on the table.
What did they have, 53 at the half?
Yeah, it's crazy. And crazy. Got paid $500,000 for the pleasure of whooping their ass up one side and down the other.
Bring me my money.
was your son bouncing off the walls, just giddy?
Oh man, yeah, I got a few texts on, and I had asked him. I'll be honest.
Did he have his own guys as the underdog play of the week? Please, God,
no.
Tell me.
No, I texted him earlier in the week and said, I love Madison plus 10. And I said, because I know he knows the team. He's not just a homer. And he told me, no, don't take it. I was like, okay.
Why not?
So he didn't touch it. Well, because he's not a homer. He's trying to analyze it. Okay. He said, no, I like us, but not much. Don't touch it, blah, blah, blah. Needless to say, man, what a freaking route that was. I mean, Carolina's not a bad team. Madison's a wild team, the things they can do. That's right. A cool coach coming from Holy Cross. And you know what? And I'll tell you this. If you saw anything about that game, and I think I texted you during it, that coach knows how to be an underdog.
Because?
Which a lot of guys don't do. Well, it's like, hey, we're big underdogs. This is our game. In the first half, they did a fake field goal. They did a fake punt. They did a a fake on sides. Like, let's go.
They faked three different kicks in the first half alone. Fake punt, fake field goal, and a fake on sides.
Yeah.
That's and they just, awesome.
They're like, let's go. We're the dogs. Let's play. And it's like so many coaches play to not lose, and it's like we're the dog. Let's play to win. That was wild. And you know what? It worked, but it wasn't just that they were a good team. He brought a great approach, and he's impressive for a dude coming from Holy Cross.
Yeah. All right, the big game of the weekend in college is number 2 Georgia against number 4 Alabama. These two teams have met as top 10 teams 7 straight years. It's the first time, though, one of the two schools has been dragged to the other school's campus for a game in 7 years, because they normally just meet with the old East-West configuration of the conference in the championship game and then maybe in the college football playoff. Alabama is a 2-point home dog, and I believe that's the first time in a huge number of games at home since they have been a home dog. Would you take Alabama as a live home dog against their nemesis, Georgia?
Not with your money.
No, wow.
No, and here's why. And I haven't finished. I haven't looked at all the college yet, but here's the point. All those things matter when Nick Saban's your coach. He's not there. Georgia's really god darn good.
But they barely escaped Kentucky.
Yeah, they were looking ahead. I cannot see Georgia not buckling up and going down there and winning that game. I'll be on Georgia. I don't know if I love it, but I'll be on Georgia.
All right, 90 consecutive home games. The last time they were a home dog against Georgia in 2015. There's going to be something. There's going to be something like 100+ NFL scouts in attendance. And my answer to that was, well, any team that doesn't have a scout there, fire your scouting staff.
This is what I don't get.
The two giant factories of NFL talent are butting heads in Tuscaloosa. You should probably get a plane ticket.
But what can you do in person that you can't do with film?
I don't know. Scouts would know. I bet we'll get an email from a scout saying, here's what we can do by going down to game day. We can talk to people. Okay. We can get some inside access. I think you're right that, you know, sitting in the stands or sitting in the press box may not do a whole lot. But they got binoculars, and they're probably watching like a hawk everything that a player does.
I don't know. I think they're just watching them off the field to see if the teammates like them, like Bo Callahan. I don't know.
Well, it might also be job preservation, that they have to make sure their bosses still believe that sending them to go watch these games is worthwhile. Because if their bosses say, well, this is not worthwhile, we'll just get the film, then the next step is going to be, why do we need you? AI can do a better job of picking talent than you.
You're right. I can't believe you let my Bo Callahan slip through there.
Draft day, Kevin Costner.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
Let's press into Sunday, for God's sakes, and let's dig in here and get to the meat of today's pod.
But on the other note from last week, the Cowboys kicker.
Oh yeah, he's crazy.
Hit a 64-yard field goal.
65, I believe.
I thought it was 60.
But who's counting?
In the first quarter.
Yeah, I know. And they and
down 7-0.
And they didn't
usually when guys hit from 63, 65, it's the end of the half, end of the game. The first quarter, he's kicking from his own side of the 50 and just drills it. It's wild what these guys are doing.
Yeah. Well, he in particular, and he's a hell of a story because he played soccer and just picked up NFL kicking or football kicking at a late stage in his career, came by way of the XFL. And he has a stroke that is so effortless and so pure. I think he had made something like 15 straight 50-yarders. 15 straight. Like, what? Is this hard?
It's not hard for me. Everybody can hit from long distance now except for Justin Tucker.
All right, he's the one guy. So,
suddenly
are you going to
– can't.
All right, okay. So, are you going to retract your opposition to my kicker unicorn theory that you did not like from back in August?
I don't know. This year they're all unicorns. I don't know. They're all just drilling them. It's wild.
State of the art. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The state of the art in athletics, in whatever sport, whatever league you're talking about, marches forward unrelentingly. The training gets better. The coaching gets better. The technique gets better. The obsession by the kids watching on TV to want to be that guy, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Brandon Aubrey, continues. So there's going to be a natural progression. That's why when old fuds like Andy want to tell me that Pistol Pete could be time warped into today's game and do just fine, I laugh in his fucking face. I was like, you're crazy. Yeah. The state of the art has evolved. He would get demolished. You didn't play.
Yeah, two comments on that. I love the time warp thing because in my household, what the time warp they say is, if we could time warp, X2 swears he could kick Bob Cousy's ass.
In basketball.
Yeah, because you watch him dribbling all around the court with one hand.
Waist high dribbles with his left hand guarding.
I know I could crush him.
Yeah, saying, stay away from me, stay away, I'm dribbling, I'm Bob Cousy right here.
Exactly. Okay, here's my last one, my wild stat from last week. The Commanders-Bengals game, and maybe this is old news. Do you know the unique thing about the Commanders-Bengals game on Monday night?
I had it with Charge, so sorry that I'm going to spoil it. No punts, no turnovers, first time since 1940.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No punts, no turnovers. Basically, it's like, our touchdowns beat your field goals. We win.
Yeah.
No defense. Turn the ball over. Forced a punt the entire night. That was wild. And for my kids, Jaden Daniels, oh, my God. I mean, they have not experienced any Commanders or Redskins success in their lifetime, and they are just drooling over Jaden Daniels. It's wild.
Yeah.
We have not experienced that in a long time. He looks pretty good.
All right, some interesting games this week. And, of course, you'll have your full picks on your website, callmemrx.com. If you want to access that, you can go there and check out all you have to offer. The Bears -3 over the MASH unit that is the Rams. They stole one against San Francisco. The Bears are something for sure. Caleb Williams is struggling, but their O-line is dog shit. Why do you think that game is interesting?
Because the Bears, I know they can defend. They're not good. Caleb Williams, I mean, I know it's going to take time. He's not good. And I know the Rams are beat up. I just really look at that line and go, wait, really? Really? Everyone's betting the Rams like crazy, but the Bears are still favored. It's like, that's, to me, a very interesting line.
You know, I told my listeners here in Milwaukee that the 2.5 trap could be in play for the Packer game because they're favored by 2.5, and I think it opened and has stayed rock solid. And had to explain that the key is it's got to open at 2.5, got to stay at 2.5. We're not yet to the end of the week. We're taping here on a Wednesday.
Where's that game? I'm sorry,
it's in Green Bay. Green Bay minus 2.5 against the Vikings. Expected to see Jordan Love. Expected, not guaranteed, but all signs point to he's going to play.
You think Love's going to play?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to move the number one way or the other. I don't know what to think of that. But you're right. Traps and trap. The Vikings look awfully good. I don't know.
All right, Cincinnati minus 4.5 against Carolina, of note to you.
I just find that interesting because if we backed up 1 week and we talked about even though the Bengals slow start, a Super Bowl contender, and Carolina's the worst team in the league, all of a sudden Andy Dalton plays an average game, and it's a reasonable spread. No team has switched more in 1 week than the Panthers.
Yeah. Okay, our bet for the week. Last week we did the Patriots plus, and as you say, we only missed it by 2 touchdowns. So we were right there in the running.
Two more touchdowns, we were right in.
Right there. We're on the right side of it. We just got fucked by 2 touchdowns. Not our fault.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks in, we're 1-2 on these Wednesday picks for Thursday night football. Both were on the under for the third week in a row, so at least we're 2-0-1. On that.
Yep, we're good at that.
And you hit your prop bet, which was?
Yeah, last week on the prop I gave last week was the receiver Douglas over 2.5, maybe 3 catches, I forget. And he caught 7.
Nice.
Thank you. Easy.
So 2-1.
So I'm 2-1 on the props for the year. Yep. Yeah.
Game this week is Dallas and the Giants on Thursday night football. The Cowboys are 6-point favorites, short week plus travel, and the last thing you saw, which is what we humans only process and remember, not everything we've seen, is that they were hot dog shit until the fourth quarter in a fake-ass comeback against the Ravens. That is a big number to lay. Normally, I'd say no thank you. Giants with a sort of a get-right win against the Browns on the road. Looks like Malik Nabers is really starting to heat up right now. He's a phenomenal player. But guess what? I run to the smell. I run into the most destroyed, stinky bathrooms where the fat guy in the office just walked out of. Give me the Dallas Cowboys -6. And I hate it, but I'm on it.
I'm glad that it took till the fourth week of the year for us to finally be on the opposite side.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. I was thinking Dallas and thinking Dallas because they played so poorly most of the Ravens game. But then I watched the Giants and Browns game this afternoon. Giants weren't good. Browns were just god-awful terrible. And I'm going to say the Giants are smelling too much. And a divisional dog at home getting 6 points is the side I always want to be on.
Okay. Fair enough. Over-under is 45. I'll take the over. Give me the over 45. Yeah.
All right. We're switching again. I'm sticking with the under. I think those are – I don't see either team putting up a lot. I'll go under. We're opposite on both of them.
Okay. Very good.
And I got a prop. I got to keep my good props rolling.
Prop it up, baby.
Here's
what do we
prop.
Have?
Yeah, I like the Dallas running back, Dowdle. I think they're going to run the ball, and his yards is only like 37.5. He's going to get the ball versus the Giants, and I'm taking him over.
Okay. Rico Dowdle. All right, Mr. X, at Call Me Mr. X on at Just Call Me Mr. X on Twitter. You can reach him via email at askmrx@callmemrx.com. Of course, the website is there as well. Avail yourself of his services if you like, or just poke around. As always, remember, people, bet with your head, no over it, as Furio once said. And only bet as much as you can afford to win, as Mr. X also likes to say. Good luck this week, and we will chat next week. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.